Okay, well, I just lost all of that that I supposedly recorded, but I'll start over again. Welcome, XMAF. This is Shavuot, Pentecost 2012, the giving of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. And as I came into Jerusalem on Shabbat, it was preparation day, and it seemed things were closing down earlier than usual for this Shabbat and a feast day. I tried to find a couple of things. I did locate them and get my bearings. And then in the evening, I went to a man and his wife and his young daughter's home. And we had some studies and discussed some things. And I brought up some issues. And we saw a friend. It was actually a mutual friend of ours who has gone away from following Yeshua into following the Roman Catholic Church, praying to Mary, oh help. On the way in, walking into the old city, in the spirit, I saw a huge black snake, and its tongue was very long, and it was forked, and it was slithering aside of me, and I went, uh-oh. Of course, there's snakes all over here in the spirit, lying spirits. So I'm always like so guarded and cautious about. There's a zillion stories, and you know, this is the Holy Land story. I have to work through the suffocation of religious spirits whenever I come here. Nevertheless, this gentleman, who was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family and then has lived in the land and knows a lot of the ins and outs, introduced me to a new translation of the scriptures that I'm going through. I've checked the website out, and I read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Romans, Hebrews, Jude, Revelation, and it's very good, actually. But I still haven't gone through all of it. But the proof text is the truth. I mean, it just has a sense of cohesiveness, and it brings back in the original names according to the text and all different early texts of Yeshua, who they call Yahuwah. I'll read you some at the end of this Sukkot message, because it applies in an interesting way. I saw it sharpen. I saw the sword sharpen, the sword of truth that was conveyed. I don't agree with a bunch of the stuff they have on their website or his opinions. I'm just looking at the straight-up text, and I'm looking at the scholastic, the scholarly works behind it, whether they're valid or not. It sounds good. We'll read it. We'll pray over it and see. I've given it to people, some people that I respect their input and insight to see what kind of feedback I get from them. You know, put it to the acid test. So anyway, that was all very interesting. And I felt led to go up to Mount Zion after breakfast this morning. And there's a place right by the old ancient mikvah, which I've been to many times during Purim and Sukkot to pray. It's behind the Catholic, Greek Orthodox, and Holy Land Institute. There's a grassy knoll there behind David's Tomb Synagogue. And often during Sukkot and Shavuot, Orthodox Jews come from other areas and camp back there. And they have since put a door over it and closed it off. So if you go back there, you're kind of invading people's camping territory. But there's an ancient mikveh that has like a cage over it. And this is where the early symbols for the early church were found by an Orthodox rabbi. Orthodox Jews have closed that all up and sealed it up so there's not access to it. But it was a mikveh, which is a ritual bath. Down there they found on the wall and on pots and other artifacts the symbol, which is a fish and menorah and a Star of David. It's a symbol of the Church of James. And it's all laced with caverns and caves under there. And the Essene community used to come up to Jerusalem to keep the feast. That's where they would stay, in the caves. And on the hill, on the little knoll. They didn't go to the temple because the Essenes removed themselves from the temple practices as they were so corrupt. Then there's a little shop right in one of the caves, and you can actually go down in under it, but it was closed. And the cars are, there's a little parking lot outside. It's really hard to find a parking place. So after tweedledumming around the hill and parking here and realizing it's illegal and I'll probably get a ticket, and the parking lot is full to the maximus, I came back, and then I thought, I knew I took my new Kingdom of Yah, that's the name of it, Covenant Scriptures, up to this little spot where there's a fig tree and a stone wall to sit and read. I felt like that was what I was supposed to do. Then I moved my car around a couple of times, and I finally squished it over into place where I could watch it and keep my eye on it. So I took out my scriptures, and I went under the fig tree right outside the gate that's closed up. I'd been there the night before, just going over the back and praying. And I just started praying and reading John. And I saw this woman come. She's a smallish woman, petite, and she had various sort of oriental-type dress, long dress, and veil, head coverings and all of this. And she was with a little girl, and she was very pretty. She was very exotically dressed. So I'm just sitting on the wall, and then these couple of Orthodox guys come over with their three sons, and they go back over behind, in front of this little shop that's outside the wall, and then back behind and down. It's like a little crevasse. It's a pretty big crevice in the rock, and there's a bunch of stones and different things down there. And I'm like, and they turn back. There's some dialogue in Hebrew going on, and I'm thinking, well, what's all this? And this, all of a sudden, I heard this person, and they're just like, well, I have to say, they sounded like they were in hell, and they were just like, just carrying on and on and on. And I finally went over to the fence that on the stone wall and looked over, and there was a young woman, very slim. And I said, are you okay? And she turned around, she smiled, she was very pleasant, very, very beautiful Israeli. And she said, oh, yes, yes, it's okay, she said. And I said, well, is anything really the matter? I mean, I heard the noise, I thought maybe somebody needed some help or something. She says, oh, she says, well, they're taking a bath down there. I said, you mean down in that hole down there, there's water? There's like, yes, she said, and it's filthy, and she's very, very afraid. I said, oh, and I started laughing. I said, okay, well, I'm glad everything's okay. And I went and sat back on the wall, and the young woman, the first one who showed up, came back out of there. And evidently, this was where they bathed for those who were camping. And she came over and began to talk to me, and we had this dialogue, which was very interesting. Of course, she started speaking Hebrew to me, and she would ask me in Hebrew if I was watching to make sure none of the men came around while they were taking a bath. The Sitzern Ha'atzor is the name of it. I said, no, I didn't. I said, no, I was just sitting here reading. And I didn't even know there was a cistern or that people were taking a bath. I said, is that what's going on with us ladies? And she said, yes. She said, will you mind
telling me if any men come. And I said, well, it's no problem. Certainly, I'll let you know. And she said, what is that book you have in your hand? Oh, she said, oh, did I live here? Excuse me. I said, well, no, but I come here a lot. And I said, she said, well, was I Jewish? I said, well, my great-grandmother allegedly was Polish. My family came out of Austria in the 1890s to the United States. And so I think that it's likely that she was Jewish because there's still some Jewish traditions in my family, even though they became Roman Catholic. But I'm not Roman Catholic at all. But I keep the commandments, and I keep faith in God, in Yeshua, Yahuwah, I called him. She said, well, you could come to this land. You know, you should come and get citizenship. You should move here. It would not be a problem for you. We could help you. I was like, oh. I said, well, she said, I forget. What was the next thing? I said, well, I wasn't sure that that's what I was supposed to do. But then, you know, I'm here because this is a very significant place, Mount Zion, as we all know. And I'm just worshiping the one true God. She says, well, what is this book you're reading? I said, it's called the Word of Yah, the King's Covenant. She says, well, let me see this original scriptures of El. And she opens it up and begins reading. She says, oh, no, I can't read this. I said, why? This is God's name in here. Oh, no, we don't even say the name of God. Hashem, she says, but this is not good. And I began to minister to her about, well, you know, Yahuwah, God's father, Jesus is his son. And he was God and he kept all the commandments. And he became the Pesach lamb. He was slain for your sins and for my sins, if you believe in. No, she said, once I know about this. She said, once I knew, I almost became a follower of him. And then I prayed and I asked to see the truth. And I know that the truth is, this is not the truth, that the truth is Orthodox Judaism. I said, well, you know this rabbi. His Kabbalah rabbi in Tel Aviv. I could not remember his name. He says, oh, no, Kabbalah, you have to be at least 40 years old. And how do you know? It's too much. You have to be very mature before you can get into Kabbalah. I said, well, I'm not into Kabbalah. I said, but he believed that Yahuwah was the Messiah. And wrote a letter before he died. And she said, well, you know, we know that if you're into Kabbalah, you can take and write God's name on a paper and you can cause the dead to come back to life. I said, no. She said, yes. And this is what this and she wouldn't even say his name. I don't even want to say his name. I don't want to hear his name because the name. And it was just so, she says, we don't say the name of God. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't even want to speak the name. He said, we follow Moshe and we follow the Torah. I said, well, Yeshua, Yahuwah, he kept the Torah perfect. No, he didn't. No, he used magic and he deceived. He did not tell the truth. I said, but how do you know that? Because I prayed and I know. And I don't want to talk anymore about this. Her name was Elena. I'll just say that. That's not her real name, but Elena. And her daughter was with her. And then she left and went over. And she actually went between some of the cars and sat down. And I tried to talk to her again. And she says, I don't even want to hear the name, blah, blah, blah. Then she came back over. And the woman, the thin woman who was down there, at the cistern, taking a bath in the filthy waters, I thought, isn't this interesting, came up with this very large woman who evidently was her mother. And Eleanor began to testify. She says, well, what is this? What's this book? She began to speak to her in Hebrew. Eleanor was actually witnessing in Hebrew to this other Hebrew woman about the word of Yah. Now this is right outside the Orthodox synagogue on Mount Sinai, and And the woman, at first, they were really nice, and she was, you know, because she was very, you know, cordial. And then her face went down, down, and then a cloud came over, and she was, I mean, the spirit came on her that hated Yeshua, Jesus, commonly known in the paganized tongue. And they turned away and said, no, we don't want anything to do with this. This and this other very large, corpulent woman that was with her, the one who was yelling and screaming because the water was so filthy, who sounded like she was in hell. And she said, well, she goes, that is not the truth. And she said, we love you and we will tell you that. But because I had said, you know, if I love God and I love you, and then you know that, and that's the God we serve. We don't serve, you know, Allah. He's the God of hate and violence. There's no names for Allah. There's not the name of Father or love. And so she was a very, woo, nasty to me. All this was very interesting in light of this particular translation, because it deals with the name. As they say, the name is everything to the Orthodox. And the name has been taken out and twisted in the translations, in modern translations. And I mean King James too. And I've been preaching out of King James and a couple others or teach. So, and therefore, the Holy Spirit had me reading out of the book of John. And here are these women taking baths in this filthy, dirty cistern water, a broken cistern, a broken mikvah, and screaming and yelling because it's so filthy. She was afraid, and they were afraid. It was so filthy, dirty down there, waiting their turns. It was wide out in the open, wide out in the open. They had to have somebody watch it so the men didn't come, and it was just a classic. It was absolutely classic. I'm going to read you the scriptures that I was reading while I was up there. And then, you know, you pray about this. You pray about these people. This is straight out of Romans 9. Yahuwah Hanan 4. Yahuwah Hanan. Yahweh is covenant forgiveness. The book of John. Therefore, when Yahuwah, the master, knew that the Pharisees had heard that Yahuwah was making and immersing more Yahuwan Matim than Yahuwan Hanan, that is to say, John the Baptist, Yahuwah being Yeshua, Jesus, although Yahuwah himself did not immerse, but only his Yahuwan Matatim did, that would be his disciples. He left Yahuwah-Diah and departed into Galilee. He was led of his Ruha to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Yahuwah, therefore, being tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, noon, which was about the time I was at the cistern on Mount Zion. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Yahuwah said to her, give me a drink. For his Yahuwan Matatim had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you, being a Yehudi, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Yehudi have no dealings with Samaritans. Yahuwah answered her, said, if you knew the gift of Yahuwah and who this Yahuwah Da is who said to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.